You're about to listen to a sermon from New City Church of LA. If you'd like more information about New City Church or to download more free audio or video sermons, please visit us on the web at www.newcitychurchla.com. And now from downtown LA, here's this week's sermon.
We're in the middle of a series right now on the Gospel of John entitled Knowing I Am. And so we're looking at the last week of the life of Jesus. In particular, we're looking at the last discourse, what Jesus said at the Last Supper to his disciples. And today's sermon is entitled, Invited to the Dance of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to be reading John chapter 14, verse 15 to 31. But as we read this, would you listen for the relationship among the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? Because sometimes it's really hard to focus on exactly what Jesus is saying because it's not easy to understand. So I want you to just listen for the relationship between Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit because we're going to be focusing on that. So let's go to verse 15. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor know him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Verse 21, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Verse 25. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you love me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. Now, I want to just read a couple of other verses that are related, that are coming up. So in chapter 15, just a few verses ahead, verse 26 to 27 says this. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. And then just a few verses ahead, we hear in John chapter 16, verse 7, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. As I said, this passage is very interesting because nothing that it says is very difficult. But how do you put them all together? What is Jesus talking about? And it seems to be all over the place. When I'm trying to prepare a sermon, I'm trying to get to a point, the theme. And I'm like looking at this passage and go, this is not very linear, you know, like A to B to C to D. You know, it's not like that. It's kind of all over the place. It's not straightforward. It seems a bit convoluted. Jesus talks about himself, the Father, the Holy Spirit in a very interrelated way. If I asked you to draw a diagram of the relationship between Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit from this passage, I don't think that would be an easy task. And I think the line would be all over the place and with squiggly line going here and there. So here's what I want to try to do today in this sermon. This is where we're going. I want to talk about this relationship among the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, this triune God. But then I don't just want to talk about that. I want to also talk about, so what? What does that mean for us now? Okay? So first of all, let's talk about the relationship between Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's look at some of the things that this passage says about the relationship. So I'm just going to point out a bunch of things that we see from the passage. Jesus said is that the Father will give us another advocate, right? In verse 16. So who was the first advocate? When you have another advocate, that means there was a previous advocate. Obviously, that's Jesus. We'll talk about what he meant by advocate later. So the Holy Spirit is like Jesus, right? Because he's another advocate. He takes the role of Jesus. He said, the disciples know the advocate, the Holy Spirit. If you look at verse 17, they never met the Holy Spirit at this point. But Jesus says, you know him, because to know Jesus is to know the Holy Spirit. And then he said, I'll be gone, but I will come to you. Verse 18, he says, you will see me. Verse 19, how could he be with them if he's gone? Right? He said, I'm leaving, I'm going, I'm going to be gone. I'm not going to leave you as orphans, but you will see me. Why? What does that mean? Because to be with the Holy Spirit is to be with Jesus. Now, the Holy Spirit's job is to remind you of what Jesus taught us. That's what he says in verse 26. The Holy Spirit's job is to testify about Jesus. That's what he says in chapter 15, verse 26. Jesus said to know him, know Jesus, is to know the Father. We saw that last week in verse 7. And to see him is to see the Father. You know, remember, Philip said, we want to see the Father. That'll be enough for me. And Jesus said, you see me, you have seen the Father. Right? That was verse 9. And Jesus said, he is in the Father, and the Father is in him. And Jesus also said in verse 16, I will ask the Father to give you another advocate. I will ask the Father to give you another advocate. And then he says in verse 15 to 26 that Jesus said, the advocate is the one whom I will send to you from the Father. And then if you look at verse 16 to chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus said, I will send the advocate to you. Yeah, I hope you guys are following me. So is it the Father sending the Holy Spirit, or is it Jesus sending the Holy Spirit? Because he said he'll ask God, Father to send, and then he says, I will send. The answer to that is yes, because there's such oneness between the Father and the Son here. We read this verse, we read this verse a couple of weeks ago when TC preached in chapter 13, verse 31. Jesus said, here's another one of those kind of a circular things. Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. Do you guys get that? What he's saying, I mean, this sounds really confusing, but essentially it's not that complicated. He's essentially saying that the Father and the Son are giving glory to one another and vice versa. They give glory to one another. When Jesus is glorified, Father is glorified, vice versa. They give each other glory, meaning they raise one another up. They talk highly of one another. Let me give you one more verse. In chapter 17, verse 24, which we'll talk about in a few weeks, Jesus prayed for the disciples like this. He says, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you love me before the creation of the world. Before the creation of the world. So the Father and the Son, Jesus and God, the Father and the Son, have been together since before the creation of the world. And they have been loving each other and giving glory to each other. So that's what's been going on. There's a lot to swallow here. I'm just kind of unpacking some of the things that we read in the passage. There's a lot to swallow. But here are the three points that I want to make from these points, from these things that we just read. Number one, Jesus speaks of the Father, himself, and the Holy Spirit as persons. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are not just a mold of God, like H2, like, you know, water, except H2O, it could have different mode. It could be ice, it could be liquid, or it could be steam. And that's not, you know, it's not like God, mode of being is sometimes this, sometimes that. That's not what it's saying. It is not one substance in three modes. It's not like the sun and the light and the warmth. These are kind of illustrations that we hear when we're young about the Trinity. It's not exactly like that. They're not just characters of God. They're not just, you know, here are one character of God, another character of God, here another character of God. That's not what he's saying either. They are all persons with the ability to engage in a relationship with one another. That's what we see, right? It's not just some energy. They actually have relationship with one another. So therefore, they are person. So that's number one. Number two, although there are three persons, they are one God. Christians do not believe in three gods. We are monotheists. We believe in one God in three persons, okay? That's what we call Trinity. Now, the third thing that we see is that they interact with one another. They love one another. They lift one another up. They give glory to one another. They serve one another. And they've been doing this from before the creation of the world. So in essence, they have been dancing together in perfect union, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what Trinity is. It's the reality that God lives in community that loves, that serves, and that glorifies one another. It's a beautiful and a perfect way to be. You know, the word Trinity is actually not in the Bible, but early theologians of the church came up with this term to explain this passage and other passages like it that have this idea of interrelatedness between the among the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, to explain the idea that there is one God in three persons. Okay, so that's what we see about the relationship between the Trinity. Now, second question is, so what? What does it mean for us? Why are you telling us? So this means that God is inviting us to the dance of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you look at chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus said, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." Father and Son will make his home, their home, with those who follow him. And then in chapter 17, verse 24, Jesus prayed, "Father, I want those you have given me to be where I am and to see my glory, glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world." And then in verse 26, it says, "I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and I myself may be in them." Now, what is he saying? Jesus wants us to see and experience the glory and the love he and the Father have for one another. And he prays that we would be in that love as well. So he's saying, look at the love. Look at the beauty of the relationship between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Look at the dance. Look at the perfect unity. And now, come on. Join the dance. It is an invitation to the dance of the triune God. It is a dance of respect, a dance of love. It is a dance of serving one another, dance of loving one another. And that it doesn't just mean emotional affection in terms of love. It means that they serve one another. They obey one another. When the Son glorifies the Father glorifies the Son. There is giving and receiving of glory to one another. It is a dance of intimacy, and there is beauty in this dance. You know, if you think about it, if God is not Trinity, then he would not have experienced relationship before he created us. He would not have experienced love until he created us to fellowship with him, right? So in a way, it's like We are his first love, first experience of love. But that's not what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that he, the triune community of God, God lives in community, and they have been loving one another for eternity. And now, out of overflow of that love, they want us to participate in that love. Love is not new to God. He created us to join him, join the dance of the triune God. So we're called to dance. This is an intimate dance. You see, if you have been to the dance of the triune God, you can dance through life. If you dance with the triune God, you can dance through life. Because you'll see that that's the point of life. God is not calling us to just change our behavior because it's hurting us, although it does hurt us. He's not just calling us to obey him because not to obey him is sin, although it is sin. He's not just calling us to stop our addictive behaviors because we're destroying our lives and lives of people around us, although we are. He is inviting us to a dance, the dance of love. If we get in the middle of the love among the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we will be struck by the beauty of love and will learn to dance in love in our relationship with others. Our relationship with our spouse become a dance of love. Our relationship with our children becomes a dance of love. And our relationship with our friends and our brothers and sisters and our neighbors and our colleagues become a dance of love. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, come to the dance. Now, I want to ask the question, though. How do we join in the dance of the triune God? So tell me, you're saying, so what does that mean practically? Let me give you some thoughts from this passage, because, you know, I could talk about this in so many different angles, but let me just talk about it from this passage. I think this passage is extremely holistic. It takes our entire body to dance, okay? And the Holy Spirit is sort of our guide to the dance. Jesus taught us how to dance, right? And the Holy Spirit is now coaching us how to dance. So that's where it is. So how do we dance? First, with our head. I'm not saying that kind of dance, but with what's between our ears. We need to know what Jesus said. The Holy Spirit will teach us all things and remind us of what Jesus said. The role of the Holy Spirit is to testify about Jesus. You know, we often reduce the Holy Spirit to a presence of God, and he is. But from this passage, at least, there is so much more to the Holy Spirit. He reminds us and testifies us about Jesus. The heart of everything is Jesus, because even the Holy Spirit is pointing to Jesus. And Jesus said, to see Jesus is to see the Father, and to know Jesus is to know the Father. And so the Holy Spirit's job is to help us see Jesus. Help us know Jesus, who he is, why he came, why he died for us, what he taught us, all of these things, and how he lived. So how do we join the dance? We got to get to know our dance partner. The one that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit is pointing to is Jesus. We got to know Jesus. You know, I don't think it means that we necessarily just go somewhere and start meditating, although that's a very good thing. But I think it means that we got to get to the Bible and get to know Jesus. We don't just like go somewhere and try to get to know Jesus by the Spirit. It says the Spirit is trying to teach us who Jesus is, and the Bible, Spirit inspired the Bible and revealed Jesus to us. And so we got to get to know Jesus and listen to the Word of God. It means we have to do the hard work of actually understanding the Bible, okay? Actually reading the Bible, understanding the context of the Bible. It's, on one hand, Bible is simple to understand, but on the other hand, it is very difficult to understand. You got to dig in. You got to open your book. You got to figure out what it's really saying in the context that it's saying it, and to see what it's saying to us. So it takes real work to hear and get to know Jesus. And it means that we have to examine the cross, because Jesus focused so much on the cross. Do you understand why Jesus died? Do you understand why Jesus died for you? All of these things are the kinds of things that the Holy Spirit helps us understand. He compels us to know and see Jesus because he testifies about Jesus. You know, that's why I think it's so important to understand the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is called another advocate. Jesus was the first advocate, and job of the Holy Spirit is to continue the work that Jesus was doing. But now he can do it in everyone, not just the 12 disciples. He's no longer limited in a way that he can do it. The word for advocate, by the way, in the original language is this word parakletos, para, like side, like parallel, parallel part, para, that's what we get. It means side. Kletos means called. So it literally means called alongside, someone who is called to be alongside of you. That's what it means. But you know, actually, if you look at the context of that, how that word was used in the society when this was written, it was most often used in a court context. And so it is someone who speaks for you. Someone who advocates for you in the court of law was called parakletos. We see that in lots of other non-biblical documents, how that word is used. And so that's why the NIV editors, NIV translators, decided to use the word the advocate to translate parakletos, even though it's very difficult to translate. And if you look at other versions, if you look at various different versions of English Bible, there's 5 or 6 different words for them. The comforter, the helper, the counselor. There's lots of different translation of this word. But all of those translations have an element of one who is called alongside, the one who is for you, the one who is advocating for you. You know, I find it interesting that Jesus said, I will send the parakletos right after he said, if you love me, keep my command. And then he said, I'll send the parakletos. I don't know if it's a coincidence. I think his line of reasoning is that he knows that we can't obey his commands on our own strength. So he told us he'll give us an advocate, someone who speaks for us and defends us. So when our failures tell us that we're nobody, parakletos tells us that we are somebody, not because we deserve it, but because of what Jesus has done for us. On the cross. He has invited us to the dance of the triune God, and we are dance partners of God by his grace, by his embrace alone, not by our merit. So when our addictions tell us that we're nobody, the advocate tells us that we are somebody, not because we deserve it, but because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. He has invited us to the dance of the triune God, and we are dance partners of God. And we're never going to get disinvited. You see, we don't get to the dance because we're good enough, pretty enough, acceptable enough, successful enough. We get to the dance because we were invited. It was by grace we were invited. And that's what the advocate does. He's constantly defending us by the power of the cross. No accuser can say that we don't deserve to be in the dance. We have an advocate that says you belong in the dance of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen? We need to understand this in our head, first of all. Secondly, we join the dance with our heart. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will be with us and in us forever. This means no matter what happens, he's with us and he is in us. So in verse 27, Jesus said this, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. The Holy Spirit helps us experience this peace. You know, the peace that he's talking about is not the absence of conflict. He's not saying that you will be problem-free. In fact, he goes on to talk about some of the problems that they will face right in this same discourse. They will be persecuted for his name. Some of them will be killed because they followed Jesus. He never promised a nice, luxurious job. He never promised them a rose garden. What he does promise is that even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of trouble, even in the midst of all that afflicts us, he will be with us and be in us. That's what he promises. And that is true peace. It's not the kind of peace that the world gives. We can actually rejoice when things are rough. That's the kind of peace that he gives. How do you find peace? How do you find peace in your life? Do you try to find peace by forgetting about life? You know, that's what the Eastern form of peace is about. You meditate and try to empty your mind of all thoughts so you can find peace. But you know, somewhere along the line, that's not reality. You're just ignoring things. You're not facing reality as is. The kind of peace that Jesus gives exists even when we are brutally confronted with reality. We have hope even in midst of difficulty. How do we have that? Because we are invited to the dance of the triune community of God. There is no other joy that compares to the joy of joining that dance. That's the ultimate joy. That's the ultimate prize. And we are invited now and forever. And even if we lose our jobs, even if we can't find a job, even if we have to file for bankruptcy, even if we fall ill in our lives, or even if we die, we have hope in Jesus because this dance continues on forever. And that is true peace that he gives us. And when we have that peace, we live our lives with meaning and boldness. We're gutsy. We can do stuff. We have the guts to do something with our lives. We don't have to live in fear anymore. And that's the peace that the Holy Spirit, the advocate, teaches us about. So that's the second thing. So we go in with our head understanding and with our heart experiencing his peace, even in midst of difficulty. And thirdly, we join in with our feet. See, when you dance, you got to have the move, right? You got to move your feet. Jesus said in verse 23, anyone who loves me will obey my teachings. He said this several times in this passage, actually. He says to love him is to obey him. See, to love him is not just an emotional thing. It is about the choices we make every day. And I want to ask all of us, are we living by his teaching? Are we loving one another? Are we moving the way our dance partner is moving? When you're dancing, you got to dance the way our dance leader is moving us, right? Are we moving with him? Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. I love that imagery. It says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step, Spirit. Let's keep in step with the Spirit. Are we repenting of our sin? Are we seeing if we brought in an idol to the dance? Maybe we got a major idol that we're hiding, just like some of the Israelites who were walking in the desert. They were carrying idols. And God is saying we need to examine our hearts and see if we're worshiping an idol in the dance of the triune community of God. Are there anything in our lives in which we're trying to actually use God to get something else? We need to examine. We need to repent of that and submit our lives completely to God and say, God, I come with nothing. I come by your grace. Thank you for the dance. And I just want to live in a dance in step with your Spirit. That's what he's calling us to do. Then as we are dancing, we realize that we have the power to do something amazing. When you live in step with the Spirit, you have supernatural power of the triune community of God. As Jesus said in verse 12, I told you that last week that we'll talk about verse 12 a little bit, when he says, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the work I have been doing. This is Jesus talking to us. Whoever believes in me will do the work that I have been doing. And they will even do greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask for anything in my name and I will do it. These are amazing words. You know, sometimes we take this words just out of it and go, I can ask anything. And he will do it. I just have to have enough faith. That's not the point. He's saying, join the dance. Live in step with your head, with your heart, with your feet. And as you dance, and as you live in a rhythm of this intimacy with me in the dance of the triune community of God, ask me for anything. I will do it. Because your hearts have already changed. You have gotten rid of your idol. Now this is about Jesus. Jesus will do what we ask. That's why he says what he says. But it's not about asking for a Mercedes and, you know, him answering. This is a passage that says when we dance in the Spirit, we will live by the power of the Spirit. Amen? And I know this whole thing, this is a very difficult passage. I hope I didn't lose you. But the heart of the passage is the beauty of the dance of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the primary message of Jesus Christ is that we are invited to the dance. And the way we join the dance is with all of our, not just emotionally, not just cognitively, not just volitionally, all of ourselves, with our heads, with our hearts, and with our feet. And as we do so, our lives will be a dance. Amen? Yeah. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, Heavenly Father, we've been looking for that dance all our lives and not finding it. We're not finding it in the clubs, in the neighborhood. We're not finding it in our job. We're not finding it in any other place. The only place we find it is in you, because you've been dancing for eternity. And Lord, Heavenly Father, we pray is that your invitation to join the dance would dig deep into our hearts, O Lord. Dig deep into our hearts. Be planted deep in our hearts, O Lord. And help us to dance with you. Help us to rejoice in you. Help us to live in step with you, O Lord. With all of ourselves, O Lord. And give glory to you, O Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I pray that your Spirit, who is with us and in us, will continue to speak these words and remind us of the words of Jesus, who said, come to the dance. Did you want us to be with you and in you and see you and be in you? Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
That concludes this week's sermon from New City Church of LA. Remember, if you would like more, you can visit www.newcitychurchla.com to download both audio and video sermons at no cost. A sermon is posted every week. Thank you for listening.